Cape Talk. Fabulous life.
Now, there are two new musical productions that we want to showcase for you today. One opening at Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay at the end of this month, and the other at the Artscape in early February. More on that one a little bit later in the show. First up, I want to tell you about Into the Woods, a musical by the wonderful Stephen Sondheim, which premiered in the late 1980s, won several Tony Awards at the time, and now comes to Cape Town. The show intertwining the plots of several fairy tales by Charles Perrault and the Brothers Grimm, and looking at the characters' motivations and desires and quests and what the consequences of those might be. Don't be mistaking this for a piece of children's theatre just because you heard the word fairy tale, because it is anything but, I am told. Peter Turin's Theatre on the Bay will be staging the production of Into the Woods from the 30th of January to the 2nd of March. And straight out of rehearsals, we're delighted to welcome on the line with us cast members Earl Gregory and Kate Normington, who are playing the Baker and the Witch, respectively. Wonderful to have you with us, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Pippa. Thanks for having us.
We're in duologue here.
We are. Apologies for the sound, everybody. That we were hoping to get them into studio, but the traffic has played havoc with those plans. So instead, we are on a speakerphone and going to do our best. We'll just try and talk to you one at a time and hope that the line holds up for us. Earl, if I may start with you, I know that there has previously been a kiddie-friendly adaptation of Into the Woods that could be taken into schools, etc. This is not that version, correct? This is very much an adult-themed show, is it not?
Absolutely, Pippa. A lot of people think that because the show is based around fairy tales, that it's a children's theatre, but it's so much more complex than that. In rehearsals right now, and the characters and the plots and the journeys that we're taking on are so complex, and I think that people will just identify and see themselves in these fairy tale characters. In essence, you know, there's a great level of respect that we have as actors for these fairy tale characters, and it's just such an honor to be portraying these roles.
I think I last saw you on stage in Joseph. Earl, tell us a little bit about the character you play in this one.
Well, this character is a very, very odd one. It's quite a big role for me in terms of acting. It's a very, very, very big role. So I play the Baker, and he goes on this incredible journey through the woods, and the woods is a metaphor for life, you know, and he encounters all of these incredible people along the way that just, you know, give him, you know, hints on life and what direction he should be going in. And it's a really, really complex character to play.
Okay. Kate, let me bring you in here. I'm sure a couple of ears might have prickled when I said your name. You are beloved amongst our audience for your role in Nonsense. Quite a different one this time, though, taking on the Witch. Tell us a little bit about your character.
Nonsense. That's taking us back 30 years.
It doesn't matter.
Earl is doing himself a disservice because the role that he is playing, the Baker, is quite extraordinary. But he is picking up the cudgels and running with it quite phenomenally. So I think people who've seen him in Joseph and everything else that he's done are going to be quite taken aback when they see him in this, because
very far removed from anything I've done before.
Absolutely. I just wanted to add that as an addendum.
Thank you for ringing his bell on his own behalf when he wasn't going to do it for himself. Kate, what about your role? Tell us a little bit about the Witch.
The Witch is a very strange and wonderful character. She's mercurial. She turns on a dime. She is one of those. She's not a witch in I suppose the traditional sense that one thinks about a witch. She's not a Hansel and Gretel witch who eats children. She's more of a soothsayer. She's more of an old crone, an old healer. A witch in the true sense of the word, where medievally they were called on, you know, I suppose like the Oracle of Delphi, you know, who was asked to, I suppose, sort through life's mysteries and imponderables and give people answers in times when they needed them. Mm. And that is the kind of witch she is. She's articulate, she's smart, she's funny, she's very dark. She feels that she is unassailably right about most things, and that is where her tragic flaw lies, because she can't see the wood for the tree. Hmm. So that she, to use a metaphor. But you know, like all of the characters, she is flawed. But there is something otherworldly about her. Obviously, she calls on the occult. She calls on witchcraft. And she's just fascinating. She's many-layered, and Stephen Sondheim has outdone himself in writing.
Kate, it's a role some of our listeners may recognize if they saw the film that came out a few years ago, the film version directed by Rob Marshall, Meryl Streep playing the witch in that version. It's very difficult to then step on stage into a role if anybody has had their first experience of the story and the music and the role as watching Meryl Streep on screen. Is it something you're aware of, or do you just ignore that and do your own thing?
No, I mean, you know, and it's, of course, the movie is done to perfection and it's bulletproof. So every frame is perfection. Everything is pre-recorded. So, you know, everything is just smoothed and shone up, pebble shiny. But we do a damn fine job, if I say so myself.
Now, let's talk a few of the nitty-gritty bits and pieces here. The run opens on the 30th of Jan. You're on at the Theatre on the Bay until the 2nd of March. Tickets at CompuTicket. Are you already open for booking, Earl?
Yes, we are already open for booking, so people can get to booking their tickets.
Okay, and the price range is from 175 Rand to 375 Rand a head at CompuTicket. Just in closing, Earl and Kate, can you each give us one sort of line on encouraging people to come and see the show? If they're not familiar, they don't know the songs, they might not think it's a musical I'm going to sort of sing along with in my head. Why should they come and see Into the Woods?
I think come and see the woods for the magic of the lyrics. Stephen Sondheim's incredible lyrics. The music is just so layered and so complex. And I think you would have to come back more than once to see it, just because it's that layered, you know. So that's what I would say.
It's incredibly beautiful. It's beautifully crafted. And people are going to love it. I'm sorry, but they are.
Don't be sorry. We're all very excited to come and see you. Thank you so much for chatting to us. I'm sorry we couldn't get you into studio, but Kate Normington and Earl Gregory, great to be able to chat to you regardless. And Into the Woods opens at the Theatre on the Bay on the 30th of January. Please go and book your tickets now. I have no doubt it's going to be another sold-out run for them, so please go and secure your seats while there's still an opportunity to do so. Bookings at CompuTicket.
Cape Talk. Fabulous life.
Well, our next production is a little different in that it's being staged by an amateur dramatic group, but on stage at the Artscape, no less, and with several very experienced actors and crew on board, and a production that many of you will know and love, either from previous stage versions or from the movies. Some of you might have caught the Pinelands Players production of The Full Monty at Grand West last year. This year, they're keeping their kit on, thankfully, taking us back to the 1960s and the fight against segregation with their production of Hairspray. Not to say Neil Leachman and Mark Wilkes, that I'm sure you weren't delightful in that one. But Neil is the director of their version of Hairspray. Mark plays one of the key roles of Edna Turnblad. Great to have you both with us, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Thanks for having us. Yeah,
Neil, quite daring for an amateur company to book the Artscape for 2 weeks. A big step, but you are, after all, a company that's been around for decades.
Yes, Pinelands has been there for 70 years now, so it's you know, it is quite a big step for them, but I think it's a very necessary step. A few of the other societies also graced the Artscape stage, and we decided to make the big step. A few years ago, Laura, who's the chairperson, decided to make the big move and build and build and build. Mm. And this is the culmination of all that building. So here we go.
Here you go. Fasten your seatbelt.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of, we were just chatting in the break there, in terms of getting access to the stage itself, this is a busy professional theater with productions coming and going all the time. The challenge, the logistics of getting yourselves time on stage before the run actually opens have got to be quite something for you to contend with.
They're immense. You've got, because we get literally, I think, 5 days to work on tech. So we do all the lighting, plotting. The set comes in during the course of the week, and we literally put it all together. It's manufactured away, but then it comes on there. We got to put it all together. The technical crew have to get the set on and off. We got to get the lighting done. We got to get the cast on the stage, used to the stage, and used to what's happening around them with the lighting. So it all happens really, really quickly in that week.
I can't help having mental shades of the play that goes wrong.
That. Oh, that's the truth.
Let's hope it's not one of those. What is it about? I mean, this is a show that just keeps on coming back and being reinterpreted, and everybody loves it when they see it either on stage or on the movies. What was it that made you particularly want to direct this piece?
I think because it speaks to the heart of people. You know, the story essentially is about love and the love that people have for each other across boundaries and across any kind of division. And Tracy is such a beautiful character. You know, she really appeals to me with her sensibilities. Mm. So, you know, we try to bring that out in the run of what we're doing. And I think the other part that appeals to people is the music.
Absolutely.
You cannot not tap your foot or shed a tear or something. You know, there's always something that you get entertained by in the show. And I love it. When the guys are rehearsing, I sit back and I watch and I enjoy myself. And I direct, but I still enjoy myself every time.
That speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, I mean, as much as Neil loves Tracy, I love Edna. I love Edna's relationships. I love the fact that she's just so larger than life in every way. For those who are not familiar with the show, though, maybe haven't ever seen Hairspray, haven't seen the movie, can you just give us a quick snippet of who she is, where she fits in? We've said that it's set in the 60s. It's about segregation. A young girl called Tracy who just wants to dance. Tell us a little bit more.
So Edna fundamentally runs a laundry business, and she's been inside her home for 20 years. She's afraid to go outside. She has this go-getting, dynamic young daughter, Tracy, and Tracy then starts to ease Edna out into the big wide world. And there's a great song, Welcome to the 60s, where Edna is then teased out and she goes hot skipping and jumping down the high street, and then eventually she has that transformation. But fundamentally also, Edna is in love with Wilbur, her husband. She idolizes Wilbur, she loves Wilbur, Wilbur loves her, and they have a lot of fun together in the Hardy R hut. And you get that sense that they are connected and on every level, not only through Tracy, but through the things they do together. So, and Edna is larger than life. I've got a suit I have to put on every night, and wigs I have to put on every night, and shoes I have to put on every night. So it's a challenge from an acting perspective to take yourself from, I'm a small frame, to a big framed person. So
I'll be honest, when you walked in the door, I had a moment of pause. I thought you were a lot tinier than what I expect Edna to be. So it's got to be quite a huge transformation for you. And you mentioned those magical words. She hops, skips and jumps down the road. So you're not just walking in high-heeled shoes. You're hop, skipping and jumping.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. I've had to learn to dance in high heels, which is something that's been a challenge for me. I've got several pairs just in case a pair breaks. But I've had the shoes on since the beginning of rehearsal, just to allow me to get used to my balance and my walk, and also the way you carry yourself, because you do carry yourself completely differently when you've got a pair of high heels on.
You don't need to tell me. No. Let's talk a little bit more about the costumes and the wigs, because, I mean, it's the 60s. It's a gift to any costume designer. You can just be completely out there with your design. But you are an amateur company. You don't have massive budgets to spend on costumes. Talk to us a little bit about what's happening there.
I think a large part of what we try to do is to make it as colorful as possible, and also as not colorful as possible. So to create this distinction between what is on air and what is shown to the public as a facade and what is real, you know, with the other side of the story. You know, the integrity of what that looks like and how that gets brought across through the costumes. You know, when you see somebody walking in the street, immediately you derive a sense of who they are, just because of what they're wearing, the way they walk. And so we try to do that. We've tried to create characters within characters, because remember, they're on a TV show, the Corny Collins Show. Mm. And then that gets taken away, and who are they then? Lighting changes. Is there, you know, and then what is it on the other side of the fence? You know, the other side of the railway tracks. What's going on there in the more cult? How do I say this? it's in the script. It's called the Negro Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And how do they, you know, what do they look like, and how do they feel, and how do they approach life? And it's far more fundamental and real in that environment, whereas the Corny Collins Show is just splash.
It's very plasticky, yeah.
Totally,
yeah.
But it is so visceral and so real and so exciting. The colors are dramatic, and it's, yeah. the wigs, I must say, as well. Because Tracy, the big thing about Tracy is her wig.
Her hair. Yeah.
I mean, in one of the scenes, in the dodgeball scene, one of the characters says, yeah, no, it's a Tracy. And she comes on with a wig that looks like Tracy, or much like Tracy.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, it's an iconic thing. You have to have that. But also, the styles, the hairstyles of the 60s were all up and all full of curls and all sorts of things. So the people who've done the costumes and the hair, Laura, Tina, Penny, whoever put the stuff, whoever has been on the side putting the stuff together, they've made a huge effort in making sure we get some kind of integrity in the look and feel.
And I can't wait to see what happens when those two worlds meet and merge, as does eventually happen.
It does. It does at the end of the first act, and it happens quite explosively. Yeah.
Now, the music, I think, I hope most people will be familiar with some of the big songs, and we're going to play you one in a minute or two just to give you a reminder. The music and dance is the energy and the heartbeat through this whole film, but with some very serious issues weaving it all together. We've touched on the fact that racism and segregation is one of those themes, but Mark, particularly pertinent to your character, there is also very much an issue of body shaming, body acceptance, living with the body that you have and loving yourself in the body that you have. Talk to us a little bit about how important that is.
Absolutely. I mean Edna is huge. Mm. And one of the reasons she doesn't go out is because she's ashamed of herself. She's this big woman. She thinks that nobody other than Wilbur will accept her. And then eventually when she does reach out into the society, she meets Motormouth Maybelline, and Motormouth then encourages her that actually you can be gorgeous. You can be big, blonde and beautiful. And eventually Edna accepts herself for who she is, and everybody around her accepts her for who she is, because she's this larger than life character that goes, it's okay to be big. Mm. It's okay to be blonde. And it's okay to be beautiful. So that's what she does. And it's been wonderful to do.
So. I've got a huge smile on my face because I've got pictures streaming through my head of the characters as we saw them on the film screen. Mark, John Travolta as Edna has got to be in your head as you step into this role. Do you intentionally set out to try and do things differently or channel a bit of what he does on screen?
I think you're always going to be influenced, whatever happens. However good an actor you are going to watch and see how other people have done things. I think with Edna, what I've done is I've brought a subtlety to Edna. I brought a loving, caring, nurturing side. And of course, people are going to go, you're not John Travolta. I'm not. I'm Mark, and I've portrayed Edna in the way that I saw and the way that the director and the creative crew have helped me shape Edna. And also, a lot of that is also derived from my relationship with Tracy, how I interact with her, and also my wonderful husband Wilbur. So it's been an evolving thing, and it's grown, and it's been beautiful to watch.
I know the whole thing is going to be beautiful to watch. Let's run through some of the details. You open on Saturday the 2nd of Feb, Neil.
Correct.
And it's a 2-week run.
2 weeks, and it ends on the next Saturday.
Okay, so the 2nd to the 16th then of February. Tickets at CompuTicket.
Correct.
Ranging in price from R185 to R225. Are you open for booking already?
Absolutely. We've been open for a couple of months now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we play out with the song, I believe we've got a voice note from somebody about a high school production of Hairspray. Let's take a listen to that voice note.
Hi Pippa, Gillian from Sunningdale here. I saw a production of Hairspray done by Millerton High School, and it was so incredibly professional. You could have put that production on the Artscape stage, and I'm glad they are, because I believe a lot of that cast from Millerton High is actually going to be in this production at the Artscape. And I believe their drama teacher is also the director, which is fantastic, because they are seriously an amazing drama school.
Well, thanks, Julian. Neil's shaking his head. So you're not a drama teacher from Milton High, Neil. You are the director of Hairspray. But have you recognize that some of your cast members might have come out of that previous production?
There are a number of them who might have been associated with it, but they're a lot yet. The cast who are in the school now, who are in my show at the moment, would have been a lot younger then. So I think that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Laura directed the school version of Hairspray, and she's now the chairperson of Pinelands Players. And she's also the co-choreographer, and she's also playing Velma von Tussle and Prudy.
Okay, busy woman.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good luck to you, Laura.
Yeah.
All the rest of it said is that we're going to play you a song from the show called You Can't Stop the Beat. It's one of the really upbeat numbers. We hope it's going to be great fun for you all. We wish you a successful run on stage at the Artscape. I hope that 5 days is enough to get everything tweaked and fine-tuned and make you all feel comfortable on the stage. And thank you so much for coming to share the excitement with us
today.
Thank
you, Pippa. Thanks,
Neil Pippa. Leachman, the director of the production, Mark Wilkes playing Edna Turnblad, one of the key roles in Hairspray, being done by the Pinelands players at the Artscape.